a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
So I should just disregard your attempt walking up there? Okay. All right.
I got the cold shoulder.
Okay. Good morning. Senate local governments will come to order. Liz, would you please call a roll?
Senator Sunhoff?
Here.
Lederman?
Here.
Soholt?
Here.
Tazen?
Here.
Welke?
Here.
Helene?
Here.
Kirkaby?
Here. We do have a quorum. Thank you. Committee members, I believe we've all had the opportunity to review our minutes from our previous meeting. The chair would entertain a motion. Thank you, Senators.
Second.
Soholt, second by Tazen, and third by Senator Holeen. Comments, discussion on that motion to approve our minutes? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposition? Minutes are approved. Prior to getting started, I think it's appropriate that we greet and try to avoid picking on any of our pages this morning, but we do have the opportunity. If you could come up and take the microphone, this is your moment, your opportunity for fame. We can show our appreciation.
My name is Kelsey Robineau, and I'm from Gettysburg.
But Kelsey, we're not done with you. What are your future plans?
I would like to attend SDSU, but I'm just a junior, so I still have time to decide where I want to go.
That's good. And this entire
future as in later today.
This entire committee wants to know if your injury is covered by workman's comp, because rumor has it some house pages did that to you.
Yes.
So, all right. Welcome. We appreciate your service.
I'm Jenna Vogel from Gettysburg also.
Future looks bright for you.
I'm going to Northern to be an elementary education teacher.
Good for you.
I'm Marie Stuckey from Rapid City, and I am in the process of deciding between Missoula, Bellingham, or London to study international relations.
And you can't do that here in South Dakota? Good for you, and welcome.
London?
Yeah.
What university?
Richmond, the American International University.
Oh, okay.
It is. I mean, it's amazing for the internet listeners and everybody in the audience. It is amazing the satisfaction that the entire legislature receives from the work of our pages. It's very humbling. We're glad that you're here. And rumor has it you've been having a lot of fun as well. Prior to getting started, I was asked by Secretary Gant. I think we'll just kind of hold 1018, maybe move it down a couple of items. He certainly will be here, but he is pitching a couple of bills in another committee. So I don't mean to, just to make things easy, we'll just put it at the bottom of our calendar. You guys ready to go to work? Let's do that. Let's begin with House Bill 1085. Let's take some proponent testimony on House Bill 1085. Senator Amdahl, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. I'm passing around an amendment. I didn't know how you want to handle this. It's just they missed underlining the word or. It's kind of a tough one here, so... I'm David Amdahl. I'm State Senator, District 11, Sioux Falls. I'm presenting House Bill 1085, an act to revise certain provisions concerning the notice given to municipalities and counties for bingo games and lotteries. This bill simply allows a municipal or county governing body to designate an administrative official to receive notice of a bingo or lottery game. Without this bill, all these notices need to come before the governing body of their meeting, when most are from reputable community groups and will not be challenged. With this bill, an administrative official can review the notice, and only those that could be a problem or might be denied would need to be addressed by the full governing body. This is a local option, so no governing body will be required to do this. I ask for your support of House Bill 1085 and stand by for questions.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you.
Does this committee have any pertinent questions for Senator Umdahl, because this would be a fun one to pick on, going for a G4 or something.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Lederman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My question's for Senator Umdahl here.
Please.
Senator Umdahl, I'm a little confused. We've been listening to your speeches all year, and I'm confused. You're actually for a bill this year?
Mr. Chairman? Thank you. This is a good bill, though.
Thank you.
Thank you for the question and the response. Additional proponent testimony. House Bill 1085. Ms. Taylor, good morning.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. Yvonne Taylor with the South Dakota Municipal League. I do rise as an opponent to the amendment. But other than that, we would ask for your favorable concurrence with this measure. It is just simply a little bit of a streamlining measure for our city councils. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Taylor. Additional proponent testimony on House Bill 1085. Anybody else wishing to speak in support of House Bill 1085? Seeing none, is there any opposition to 1085? Anybody wishing to speak against the possible consideration and passage of House Bill 1085? Seeing none, this committee will cease public testimony, turn it over to a committee. Pertinent questions, discussion, and possible moving this proposed amendment. Senator Soholt.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd like to move Amendment 1085-RA.
Second.
Second by Senator Lederman. I think it's a very appropriate motion. Any comments on that? As a voice vote, all in favor of that amendment on 1085-RA, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposition? 1085 is amended. Discussion and or action on 1085 as amended. Senator Lederman.
Mr. Chair, I move due pass.
Thank you. Second by Senator Holing. Comments, discussion on that motion of due pass on House Bill 1085 as amended.
Yes, Mr. Chair. I have to say, if Senator Umdahl is for this bill, it must be a really good bill.
Any other discussions on that motion before you, on a due pass motion on 1085 as amended? Seeing none, that is the motion before you to send House Bill 1085 down to the Senate floor on a due pass motion. Secretary will call the roll.
Senators Hunhoff?
Aye.
Lederman?
Aye.
Soholt?
Aye.
Teason?
Aye.
Welke?
Aye.
Helene?
Aye.
Kirkaby?
Aye.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Teason.
I move consent.
Second.
Motion by Senator Teason, second by Senator Soholt to place 1085 on the consent calendar. Is there opposition? There is opposition in the form of Senator Lederman.
Mr. Chair. I would respectfully ask that we not put this on the consent calendar because I'm dying to hear Senator Umdahl speak in favor of a bill on the floor of the Senate.
I think that's fair enough. 1085, having received the majority vote, is going down to the Senate floor in a due pass motion. Moving right along, House Bill 1120, proponent testimony. Senator Johnson, good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, ladies and gentlemen. Mark Johnston, District 12. I bring before you House Bill 1120, which is an act to allow regional intergovernmental cooperation. Well, that's a mouthful at 804, isn't it? For sewer utilities and to provide for the establishment of rates and charges. We all talk about local control up here. In many cases, we use it more often in a punchline of jokes. But when local entities want to work together, there are concerns on all sides. Larger cities have incredibly expensive systems they need to protect, and they need to be aware that their citizens have paid for facilities and need to be equitably reimbursed. Smaller cities and towns need to know they will be treated fairly, that they will have a say in the agreements, and they need to know what the benefits will be for them. The question for all municipalities all the time is, how do we pay for this? This bill answers those concerns and lays the base for local entities to work together to provide one of the most expensive services cities provide, and that's wastewater treatment. This bill is an option. I'll say it again, an option for all cities exploring this. No one is forced to participate in anything. If cities decide it is in their best interest to work together, they will do so by an agreement or contract. Sounds kind of familiar to a few things we're talking about these days. This bill answers the concerns of the larger entities by providing a framework for the way to recapture funds their citizens have already invested, our taxpayers, in their system. The bill provides service to the smaller cities by allowing them access to quality of both service and expertise that they would never be able to afford if they were acting alone. In the Sioux Falls area, this bill is a product of the work of 12 cities, 2 sanitary districts, and a range of other interested groups. If you pass House Bill 1120 and send it to the floor, the rest of the state will be watching very closely, and we expect this to become a model for intergovernmental cooperation. The bill does all of this by clearly establishing that a sewer utility may establish, by ordinance or resolution, fair and equitable rates and charges for users and others connected to the system, then spells out that those charges may include capital costs for developing new capacity, and defines what is included in determining these capital costs. Again, this is a work product of intergovernmental cooperation at its finest degree, and I urge your favorable consideration of House Bill 1120. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Senator. The Chair will certainly recognize that as the most dynamic, compelling sewer argument I have ever heard in my life. Additional proponent testimony on House Bill 1120.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the Committee. Yvonne Taylor with the South Dakota Municipal League. We're excited about this bill, so it's probably the most excitement you'll ever see on a sewer bill. But this is one of the reasons that a job like mine is fun is when you get to do a big good thing. And that's exactly what this bill is a big good thing. It's in kind of a small package and it's not been getting a lot of fanfare. But it's an opportunity to save a tremendous amount of money, do things in a smarter way, have cities work together, save resources for ourselves and the state. And that makes them go further and makes it sure that we can serve a broader community than we would be able to otherwise. Senator Johnson did a nice job of outlining the entire bill. I will just add a little bit of an idea of the costs of this. Lenox is a city of population of just over 2,000 people. They recently spent more than $4 million upgrading a wastewater treatment plant. Harrisburg is a city that is growing rapidly, bless them. They went from 958 people in the 2000 census to 4,000 people in the 2010 census. And so that kind of growth takes a lot of resources to sustain. They are looking at spending around $12 million if they can do this jointly for their wastewater treatment needs, if they can do this jointly with another city. They're looking, if they do it alone and have to stand on their own, at spending $20 to $40 million. And so this saves money, it serves people better, and it creates a better system for the environment, and it's a pleasure to bring it to you, and I hope we will have your support. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Taylor, for your compelling argument. Additional proponent testimony on House Bill 1120. Good morning.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Steve Perner, Secretary of the Department of Environment and Natural Resources. We, too, rise in support of House Bill 1120. We think that there's a lot of benefit to this particular bill. Regional systems are good. We think it follows the drinking water systems, the rural water systems that have been put in place in South Dakota that have worked very, very well for the state. We have 47 of those rural water systems. They're serving not only rural residents, but they're serving over 200 cities, small towns, rural developments. Some of the benefits of that, they're providing a high-quality, reliable source of drinking water 24 hours a day, 7 days a week to their customers. There's another benefit. They're also getting some of those smaller systems out of the drinking water business. You say, why is that a good thing? Well, drinking water business isn't getting any simpler. It's not getting any cheaper. EPA constantly has new standards, new requirements. There's always changes. These small systems really, really struggle trying to find the resources to keep up with those kind of changes. By using the economy of scale of regional systems, we can better provide the technology and the expertise needed to run these systems and to keep up with those changing requirements. We think House Bill 1120 will be an excellent tool to further promote regional wastewater systems where it's feasible, where it makes sense. Consequently, we urge your support of House Bill 1120. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other proponent testimony? Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I'm Jay Gilbertson of the East Dakota Water Development District, and I would simply add our me too to Secretary Perner's statements. We believe, as he noted, this follows the very successful regional model that rural water systems have used to provide drinking water, and this is starting the process of where appropriate, developing regional wastewater treatment systems to everybody's benefit. And as with the department, we like the idea so much, we actually invested some of our money in the original feasibility study and would urge your support of this bill. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Any other proponents on House Bill 1120? Any other proponent testimony on House Bill 1120? Seeing none, is there any opposition to 1120? Anybody wishing to speak in opposition to House Bill 1120? Seeing none, this committee will cease public input. Turn it over to any questions of the committee.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Hunhoff.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have two, and I'm not sure if it would be Ms. Taylor or Senator Johnson. In the bill, it says that the rate and charges may be established to recover past costs. Does that mean a new partner that would come in could be assessed? You gave the example of Sioux Falls and Harrisburg, and let's say, I'm not familiar with the geography, another community comes in. Could they potentially be assessed for those two systems' costs as well as a new rate in, for theirs?
Mr. Chairman, Yvonne Taylor with the Municipal League. And yes, that is what it means. There is a tremendous amount of money that has been invested in these systems by the citizens who live in the, I'll call it a host community. And in my simple mind, we might just be running a pipe from Harrisburg to Sioux Falls, but in truth, what is happening is we are building out a system and it's all going to interplay through an existing system, and the new parts flow through the old parts, flow through the even older parts, and there has to be some recognition that that investment has been made by citizens in one entity and can be proportionally recouped in some manner by the citizens of another entity. The protection for the smaller entities in this is there's no requirement that they do this. There's no requirement that they sign into these agreements, and it is a negotiated agreement that they will be agreeing to.
Senator Hunhoff.
Is there an ability if it comes into an area that the people can petition if they didn't agree or that they didn't want to, or it's just the local government that makes the decision, I'm living there and I'm going to be assessed that?
Mr. Chairman, I have not explored that question directly, but I cannot believe that there would be any point that, or any, because of the way that local governments work, I would be willing to bet pretty good money that there is a point at which there is a referable activity for the initial decision.
Additional committee questions on House Bill 1120? Any discussion on House Bill 1120 and or action on House Bill 1120?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Soholt.
I would move due pass of House Bill 1120.
Thank you. Second by Senator Welk. Any comments, discussion on that motion of due pass?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm just really excited to be a part of moving this bill forward. When I was in the campaign process and looking at some of the cooperative things that needed to happen, this was one of the first topics that was discussed between the county and city officials around Sioux Falls, and it was really wonderful to see this level of cooperation and excited to see this bill move forward.
Thank you. Additional discussion, comments on that due pass motion on House Bill 1120. The chairman would certainly echo the comments from Senator Soholt as well as presented from the proponents. This is one of those good things that we all should be very pleased that we're able to participate in. Motion before this committee is a due pass motion on House Bill 1120. Madam Secretary, would you please call roll?
Senator Sunhoff?
Aye.
Lederman?
Aye.
Soholt?
Aye.
Teason? Welke.
Aye.
Colleen.
Aye.
Kirkby.
Aye. House Bill 1120 certainly has received sufficient votes to head down to the Senate floor and do pass motion.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Soholt.
I would move consent.
Thank you. Is there any opposition to placing House Bill 1120 on the Senate consent calendar? All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
And there is no opposition. Senator Johnson, good job. Next proponent testimony, House Bill 1122. Senator Van Gerpen, are you going to kick this one off? Good morning and welcome to Senate Local Government.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Bill Van Gerpen, State Senator, District 19. It's always a distinct privilege to appear before this body, and I appreciate this committee. Just a little innate insight. I think that passage of House Bill 1122 would help the Senate in the kids' voting basketball game. So I might just...
Yeah, my vote right there. Then.
Thank you. I bring before you this morning House Bill 1122, and what we're trying to do is to bring some compliance of the code with some of the activity that currently happens in over, I think, about 19 counties across the state of South Dakota. It refers to a self-health insurance plan, and the code now reads that for county commissioners to have a group health insurance for its officers and employees, the law requires that they have at least 100 that would qualify in their particular county. Somehow, apparently, that was overlooked. And in a recent audit, I understand that this was discovered, and so these counties are affected by the number 100. Our intention here today is to remove that term, that number at 100, and let the county commissioners elect, if they so do so, to provide a group health insurance program for their officers and employees. One of the concerns that I initially had was if you have less than 100 or a smaller pool of people, what if there's a catastrophic cost that they encounter? In the situation that we're addressing this morning, those that will be speaking after me have indicated that they have a reinsurance program that would cover that. In this case, I think it's $20,000 or more would be covered 100% by the reinsurance program. So with that, Mr. Chairman, I'll turn it over to those who are here to support this bill that we revise the requirements relating to the number that are required for this health insurance plan for county officers. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll be here for questions or any comment.
You're very welcome, Senator Van Gerpen. Thank you for your testimony. Additional proponent testimony on House Bill 1122.
Morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I want to thank you for letting us come here to testify in front of this group. I'm from Charles Mix County. My name is Jack Solik, and I've been a county commissioner for 21 years. Last year, we ran into a very tough problem here. Our insurance jumped 47%, and that was quite a jolt to Charles Mix County's budget. So we had to do something else. We had to go out looking for other insurance. And we did. And Al Johnson and Deb Sinke came down to met with us and talked with us about their insurance, what they got to offer. And it looked like it would fit us very good for Charles Mix County to have it, because we only got 46 employees. And those 46 employees, we don't have the best paying scale. But what they want is good insurance, health insurance. And that's what we're trying to give them now. And we had this 1 year, and we saved about $84,000 that stayed back at Charles Mix County. And that's a considerable a lot of money. Everybody's looking for saving money, and we're really trying. I have Mr. Johnson here to explain this insurance to you. I would hope that you would support this because it is very important for Charles Mix County. Like Senator Van Gerpen said, there's about 20 counties that have self-funding in some sort. And I didn't realize this, but we got audited, and that showed up on it. And I did not realize that was there. And about 20 years ago, we used to be in a self-funding group, Charles Mix County and Kingsbury, and I don't remember where the other counties was. It didn't work so well because the gentleman we had was out of Des Moines, Iowa, that ran it for us, and we saw him once a year. And some of these counties, a couple of those counties got really sick. Well, it affects everybody. And then finally, we dispersed of it, and it was really tough to get out of it, but we got out of it. This way, we're going to be in it on ourselves. It worked last year. We hope that you'll go along with this here bill and support it because we feel it's the right way to go.
Thank you for your testimony. And just for a reminder to the committee, it certainly was credible testimony. Even though Jack is a Charles Mix County Commissioner, he is speaking on behalf of himself, but the record certainly will reflect your title. Additional proponent testimony on House Bill 1122. Anybody else wishing to speak in support of House Bill 1122? Good morning.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. My name is Al Johnson. I'm an old man in the insurance business, 47 years, and have spent 25 years of that as a home office marketing officer. We used to sell partially self-funded in the 1980s, small deductible plans, $2,500, $5,000, and the employer then would contribute sufficient money to a pool to pay for claims that were incurred under the insured plan deductible on a formula that was consistent with the insured plan benefit structure. And now with the situation we're in the 2013 era, things have changed considerably. This plan was put in place 7-8-26-2 in 1983. Amended in 1994, and since 94, things have changed dramatically. They're going to change more dramatically as we move into the affordable health care world. So we know that small entities need to have the right to be able to design their plan as long as it's adequately funded. 7-8-26-2 didn't address funding in any context. It said you had to have a number of lives, 100. If you're inadequately funded, 100 lives in an adequately funded plan is much more dangerous than 46, 50. So the key for self-funding arrangements is adequate funding for the self-funded portion. A properly designed plan will provide two safeguards for an employer. One is a specific stop loss. The next is an aggregate stop loss. The specific stop loss stops the cost to the insuring entity at the stated amount for the reinsurance deductible. In the case of Charles Mix, is $20,000. A claim above $20,000 is fully reimbursed 100% by the reinsurance company. And if everybody in the insured plan incurs heavy medical expense, they have the aggregate stop loss. The two difference, aggregate means that all the claims that the county is liable for is protected against a dollar amount. In the case of Charlie Mix County, that is $210,000. And we funded the self-insured portion to ensure that we have $210,000 in the event we need it. So the plans now are very safe for an employer to adopt. There was used to be concern that we would have unfunded liability because they didn't put enough money in the self-funded pool. That's eliminated now. Times have changed, and the need for this kind of an arrangement is pressing. We're going to see premiums move rapidly in the next 10 years. And we need to be able to allow these entities to afford to provide benefits. They can provide a $500 deductible, even though their insured plan deductible is $20,000. And most claims, when you run it out, a heavy majority are small. $100, $500, $1,000, maybe $2,000 of cost to the plan. But there is always that moment where they might have a catastrophic claim. And that's why you provide adequate funding in the self-insured portion of it. We surveyed South Dakota counties, and we found that 19 were providing some form of self-funding, whether it was a $1,000 deductible insured plan or a $2,500 insured plan to as much as $25,000. And we found that they've been working well, as long as they're funded. And that's the key part of it. 100 lives has nothing to do with the longevity of a self-funded plan. I'll be glad to answer any questions if you were to have them.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Certainly your credibility and expertise in this is well appreciated in the form of testimony. Additional proponent testimony on House Bill 1122. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Tracy Strand, and I'm a county employee with Charles Mix County. And they have paid all my bills very well in the last 2 years that I've been with this insurance. So I support this bill. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you for your testimony. Additional proponent testimony on House Bill 1122.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, Committee. My name is Nick Holter, and I work for Charles Mix County Highway Department. I'd like your support on Bill 1122. I've actually had to use this insurance this year, and it's worked out very well for me. And from the numbers that have been shown, it looks like it saves our county a lot of money. So I'd like to ask your support. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Are there any other proponent testimony on House Bill 1122? Good morning.
Good morning. I'm Denise Weber, and I work for Charles Mix County, and I would like to show my support for this bill also. Deb Sinke has been very helpful to my family and I, as we had an unforeseen accident to my daughter, and so I show my support for this bill also. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you. Additional proponent testimony on House Bill 1122. Anybody else wishing to speak in support of House Bill 1122? Seeing none, is there any opposition to House Bill 1122? Anybody wishing to speak against the possible passage of consideration of House Bill 1122? Seeing none, this committee will cease public testimony, turn it over to any questions of the committee that they may have. Senator Soholt.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm not certain if my question is for the prime sponsor or for Mr. Johnson in insurance. The question I have has to do with, if we're taking out the language of two or more counties may participate in self-insurance plan, would that in any way restrict counties from coming together if they felt the need to do that?
Thank you, ma'am, for the question.
Just a moment.
Randy, go ahead.
Yes.
I'm sorry. Good morning. Randy Moses, Division of Insurance, Department of Labor and Regulation. I was asked just to be here for questions, and I guess one popped up that I guess I can address. In a different area of the code, there's a provision for joint powers arrangements, and counties, cities, and the like can get together and pool and do an insured arrangement that way.
Thank you.
Additional committee questions? Or answers to a previous question.
I was going to address her question.
Go ahead.
It's always nice to have a strong coach at your side if you need him. Two or more counties can enter an agreement to provide the benefit. They're easy to get into because a couple of counties might say we need to reinforce our position by getting more lives involved. But they're terrible to get out of. Let's say we have two counties that are needing to help each other, and they get into a partially self-funded arrangement. One county has excellent experience. The next county has terrible experience. So they get a rate increase. They get a rate increase, and the county with health in place say, I'm not paying that. So they dissolve. And the bad experience county is stuck. So association arrangements sound like they're good, but they are not in practice.
Thank you. Are there additional committee questions? Certainly no discussion. How about some action on House Bill 1122, Senator Holeen? I'm sorry, I had peripheral vision. I thought you were going to do something.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Teason.
Make a motion, do pass.
Thank you. Second by Senator Lederman. Comments, discussion on that motion to do pass, Senator Teason.
Well, just briefly, I'd just like to comment that it's kind of refreshing to see both an employer and employees come in and comment about how important insurance is to them. And it's nice to see an employer that understands that while they don't pay the highest wages, that they work hard to try to provide good health insurance coverage. And it's nice to see the employees here today that realize that their employer is working hard to do that and appreciate that benefit. So just want to show my appreciation to those that understand all that and the difficulties we have with providing good health insurance these days. Thank you.
Senator Soholt, did you have some comments to make on that motion to do pass?
No.
You sure?
I'm sure.
All right. For this committee is to act on that motion of a do pass on House Bill 1122. Seeing no additional discussion, that is a motion before us to send House Bill 1122 down to the Senate floor and do pass motion. Liz, would you please call a roll?
Senators Hunhoff?
Aye.
Lederman?
Aye.
Soholt?
Aye.
Egan?
Aye.
Welke?
Aye.
Holeen?
Aye.
Kirkaby?
Aye. House Bill 1122 did, in fact, receive sufficient votes to go down to the Senate floor on a do-pass motion.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Soholt.
I would move consent.
Second.
And second by Senator Teason. That is the motion before you to place 1122 on the consent calendar. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposition? It is on the consent. Good job, Senator. Also, if I go ahead, Senator.
Mr. Chairman, thank you for that cohesive cooperation on the committee.
But I did want to take a little liberty with this committee. There was a request from another legislator earlier this morning to try to revive House Bill 1122 into a different version, and the process does work. The prime sponsor on the Senate side said thanks but no thanks. This is a good bill, and I'm going to be passing it, and you should be commended for your backbone on this.
Thank you, sir.
Yep. Go back to the top of our calendar. Proponent testimony in House Bill 1018. This is an act to revise certain provisions concerning elections and petition. It is brought to us on the Committee of Local Government at the request of the State Board of Elections. Secretary Jason Gant, good morning to you.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Jason Gant, Secretary of State. 1018. This bill comes at the request of the State Board of Elections. Anything that has gone before the Board of Elections has also gone through the County Auditors Association. We usually work with the County Auditors on getting input on different election issues that have come up over the previous year. And once we agree, then we take it to the Board of Elections and then ultimately take it here to the legislature. So House Bill 1018 has a number of different changes in it. The first one, in Section 1, will allow an inactive voter to sign a petition. This is cleanup language because there's other parts of statute that already allow active and inactive to be able to sign a petition. If you remember, there was a court case a number of years ago, and that's when the legislature changed that, but this one section of law still just said active, so we wanted to clarify it that it's both an inactive and an active. Section 2... would change when new political parties want to get started in South Dakota. Currently, there's only one way for that political party to essentially terminate or no longer exist in the state, and that's to not receive 2.5% of the votes for governor. However, we only elect our governor every 4 years. We had a political party that submitted all their petitions by March of 2012, and by late summer, early fall, they had wanted to terminate already. They didn't want anyone running under their banner. I had to tell them there was nothing in law that would allow me to remove them. They would have to wait 4 years. So what we've done in Section 2 is allow the national party and the state party to send a notice to the Secretary of State declaring their interest in terminating as a political party. The third section deals with a candidate notarizing their petition. Currently, law is not clear on whether or not a candidate may or may not. We presented that question to the Board of Elections. The Board of Elections decided they did not want candidates to sign their own petition. So that's what you see in Section 3. Section 4. Sometimes elections can get a little bit silly, and we had that case this past year. There was an individual who owned a bar, and he was giving away free beer if you signed his petition for whatever the cause was that he was involved with.
Senator Maher?
We will not name names. And as you know, for your vote, you cannot give something of value. So that's clearly prohibited, that I can't give you a Snickers to vote for me. However, there is nothing in law that says you cannot bribe someone to get their signature on a petition. So that's what you see in Section 4. I know it's silly, but I think that when we do find these types of situations and we hear about them and we find out it's true, we need to do everything we can to try and clean up the language so that we don't have these issues in the future. With that, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I would encourage your favorable support of House Bill 1018. Thank you.
Thank you, Secretary Ganton. For this committee's information, I did distribute a proposed amendment to this. It certainly is not brought by the Secretary of State's office, but I guess we'll deal with that when we come to that. Additional proponent testimony on House Bill 1018.
Morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. Roger Tellinghuesen, registered lobbyist on behalf of the South Dakota Association of County Officials, which includes the county auditors, which are the election officials, of course, in each county. And we just rise in support of House Bill 1018. Our organization, specifically the auditors, have reviewed the bill and have understand it and have worked with Secretary Gant. And I've just been asked to get up and say me too. So thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Tellinghuesen. Additional proponent testimony on House Bill 1018. Any other proponents on House Bill 1018? Seeing none, is there any opposition to House Bill 1018? Anybody wishing to speak against the possible passage of House Bill 1018? Seeing none, this committee will cease public testimony. First of all, I'll take that personal privilege and welcome with a couple of distinguished representatives that we do have in the back that have evidently, you got time on your hands to come by Senate, local government. Senator Solholm, Senator Hoffman, good morning.
Nice to be here, sir. Thanks for talking to me.
Yes.
Stimulating the plan. I have no other committee in the building.
Yeah, I like that. They could for
the only committee that's got chairs available.
With this committee's consideration, if this amendment is moved, and the chair would certainly encourage the moving of this amendment, again, I cannot emphasize it did not come from the Secretary of State's office, but I do believe he is in a position to address any questions that might come from it. It was, in fact, brought from the second floor. So with the discussion on House Bill 18, the chair would, in fact, entertain a motion to amend House Bill 1018 to include 1018 FA.
So moved. Second.
Thank you, Senator Lederman and Senator Holine. Comments, discussion on that amendment to 1018, titled 1018 FA. Senator Teason.
Well, perhaps somebody can clarify this for me. It appears that we have two bars that have to be cleared in order to remove someone from to remove a party from existence. Give me a definition, and then discussion,
Senator,
and then
Teason, if I could I take the liberty, Senator or Secretary of State Gant, could you offer your personal opinion on this proposed amendment? Thank you. Senator Teason, that good to go?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Senator, not my opinion, but what this would do. if this piece of legislation was in place prior to 2012, so our last election cycle, we, of course, did not elect a governor in 2012, but we elected a president. If you remember on the ballot, we had, was it four?
How many presidents? Four or five?
We had four different candidates on the ballot for president. In order for their political party to continue to be a political party, they would have had to receive 2.5% of the votes cast for that slate of electors. Now remember, we don't vote for, like, Barack Obama. We vote for the three electors. That's who we vote for. So that's where, when in this amendment it talks about the slate of electors, that's those individuals. Of course, South Dakota voted for the electors, which were Governor Dugard, Lieutenant Governor Michaels, and Attorney General Jackley, representing the Republican Party. And those individuals would need to receive that 2.5% for that political party to stay.
Good. So just a question. You can comment on this. How would this affect a regional or statewide party, which I would think we've had some in the history of our state, where there is no national candidate? Obviously, they're going to get zero because there's no national candidate if it's the South Dakota Populist Party or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chairman, Senator, that's the same situation we have today with governor candidates. The Constitution Party didn't have a governor candidate in the last election, so they lost their status as a political party. They then have to turn around and go out and circulate their petitions and get a candidate on the ballot. Libertarians, they've been on and off the ballot for, I think, close to 10 to 20 years. That's what they have to do. If they don't get a candidate, they have to go back out and get petitions.
Thank you, Senator Teason, Secretary of State. I do have a question for, prior to taking action on this, if I could, with Mr. Tellinghuysen. Mr. Tellinghuysen, could you give me your opinion on this proposed amendment?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd be happy to.
I don't mean to disagree with Secretary Gant, but I have a question for the sponsor of the amendment first. Is it intended?
Second, I have to call downstairs.
Okay. is it intended that a political party will have to meet both tests as set forth in this amendment, or? Because the example that Secretary Gant gave was, in 2012, we didn't have an election for governor, but that this amendment would be implicated in the event that one of the parties who didn't, if they didn't elect a slate of electors for president. But I think the way this is worded right now, with the "and," it's in the conjunctive. So both tests would have to be met or not met, as the case may be, before a political party would no longer be considered a political party. So in the event that you have an election in a year where there's no election for governor, I don't know that this definition will necessarily come into play. That was my only question. If it's intended that it would come into play in either event, then I think that "and" should be an "or," and I guess I'd kind of look to Tom for guidance on that as well. Does that make sense?
I'm very appreciative to your comments on that. And again, just for this committee's information, this was proposed to me last week. relayed to me that it was an oversight coming from the second floor that they should have tried to address this on the house side. And that's my palms up answer to you.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Hunhoff.
So if I could just ask Secretary Gant, in your opening remarks, you said the Board of Elections have recommended these changes, correct?
Mr. Chairman, Senator, yes, the changes to 1018, not the amendment. The amendment just came.
I understand that. I'm just trying to understand process. So this board that made these recommendations has not seen this amendment. Is that correct?
Oh, no.
They have not seen the amendment.
No, we saw it just a couple days ago.
Thank you.
How are we doing, Tom? So with your opinion, Tom, would it make it better if it was an either or, if that word and was changed to something else, or?
I think that if it were or, it would be more flexible. You would meet one or the other of those criteria.
How are we doing, committee? You want to change the word and to or?
Yes.
Nothing to do with Mayor Shell.
Yep. And we can do that now before we amend it, right?
Yes. Mr. Chair,
I think verbally you can do that.
The amendment is not official yet. It hasn't
Correct.
Been moved or anything, so.
The amendment has been moved and seconded, but we can certainly change it this time. Do you have a motion to amend the amendment, Senator Holine?
I do, sir. I'd move to amend the amendment 1018 FA and change end to or.
Thank you, Senator Holine. Let everybody jump in all at once for a second on that.
Second.
Thank you, Senator Lederman. I don't think that we're trying to make anything as muddy as it does appear. Again, this is not Secretary Gant's amendment. It certainly isn't this committee's Gant. It was brought as a request or a favor, and this chair is not going to have a dog in this fight, so I'll follow the lead on this committee. The essence, the amendment before you is to amend 1018 FA, striking the word and replacing that with the word or. Senator Holine.
With that said, I know that I was the one who moved it, but since the Board of Electors wasn't able to weigh in on it and we're not in an election year, I don't see if the amendment goes down, it's not going to break my heart. And we can just come back at it next year if it truly is a problem. So.
Senator Sohold, any comments before we do a voice vote on this? This is a voice vote on amending 1018 FA to include striking the word and replacing it with the word or. All those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
No.
That did not work. We're back to the original bill, House Bill 1018.
Back to amendment number one.
Back to amendment number one. I don't think anybody's all fired up with that either at this time. That will be a voice vote. We are going to take action on 1018 FA as originally presented to you in this amended form. That is a voice vote. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Thank you, Senator Lederman. Those opposed?
No.
Sorry again. We're back on House Bill 1018. Discussion and our action. Senator Hunhoff.
Mr. Chair, I move to pass on House Bill 1018.
Thank you. That is the motion before this committee is to send House Bill 1018 down to the Senate floor and a do pass motion. Any other comments or discussion on that? Seeing none, that is the motion. Final action on 1018 down to the Senate floor and a do pass motion. Liz, would you please call a roll?
Senator Sunhoff?
Aye.
Lederman?
Aye.
Sohill?
Aye.
Teason?
Aye.
Welke?
Aye.
Holine?
Aye.
Kirkby?
Aye. House Bill 1018 will in fact go down to the Senate floor on a do-pass motion unless Senator Hollein.
I think we just did that to provide entertainment for the representatives in the back of the room.
1018 is going down to the Senate floor on a do-pass motion. The chair will certainly be asking a committee member to carry this bill on the Senate floor, and I know people will be waiting in line to do that, but we'll have the opportunity to visit on that. Thank you, Secretary Gant. The only thing that I have additionally to present to this committee is sometime in the next couple of days, I think it would be appropriate that we do have a quick little meeting. If there is anything that this committee would like to present in the form of a summer study, we'll get together sometime next week, officially posted meeting, to kick through any ideas that this committee would like to present to our e-board in the form of a summer study. With that, Chair will take the liberty. We did clear our calendar, both Senate bills and House bills, in a very timely fashion. We had an array of issues. Local government is always interesting and rumor has it somewhat entertaining, but we did, I think what the action that we did take should be honorable, and you should stand with broad shoulders on the actions that this committee was allowed to send down to the Senate floor. Senator Lederman.
Mr. Chairman, this is going to be our last committee meeting then.
We will have a summer study, 10-minute, 15-minute type meeting next week sometime.
Okay, I just wanted to confirm that. Thank you.
You're going to be sleeping in that day?
No, Mr. Chairman. I just wanted to make sure that we recognized your good work this year and also the Secretary, and we really appreciate it.
You might be stressed.
And I might not be here at that meeting to say that.
You're stressed. Anything else to come before Senate local government? I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
Some of them.
Thank you. We are adjourned.
Aye.
Aye.